We're going to get right to it, but today's topic, we're going to be talking about tithing. Is it for today's church, or has it been done away with? That's what we're going to talk about today. And I have with me on the phone, as usual, the pastor of God's Truth and Deliverance Ministry out of Bolivar, Tennessee. We have Pastor Bolden. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing today?
Good. I'm doing just fine. And also on the line, we have Bishop Robinson, the pastor of God's Temple of Deliverance in DeVille, Louisiana. How you doing today, Bishop? Doing just fine. Doing just fine. Again, we'll be talking about tithing today. If it is for today's church, yeah, Pastor Bolden believes that no, it's not. Is the tithing has been done away with, and yeah, Bishop Robinson believes that tithing is for today's church, and we go hear both sides. You know, here I just want y'all to again listen with an open mind. You know, the ones that believe in tithing, just listen to Pastor Bolden with an open mind, hear what he has to say. And the ones that don't believe in tithing, listen to Bishop Robinson, listen to what he has to say, and just listen with an open mind, and hope we come with understanding here and get things started here. We'll start with Bishop Robinson. I'm actually both leading questions, and then you both can state your case. And for you, Bishop, if tithing is for today's time, you know, could you explain or where did money come in at? And since tithing was originally food. And from there, if you can answer that question, then kind of state, why you believe that tithing is still for today's church.
Okay, first of all, I appreciate you and thank you for having me on, and it's good to fellowship with Pastor Bolden again, and I really enjoyed it the last time. But I'm going to get right on with it because it goes real deep as I begin to study, refreshing my mind. The money come in my study, it say the third passage dealing with the tithe in Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter, the 5th through the 7th verse, 11 through the 12th, 17 through the 18, to say this passage instructed Israel to take their tithes to the place the Lord prescribed, eventually the city of Jerusalem. And at this time, people stayed far away. And it wasn't like, you're paying your tithes every week, but there were specific times that they was in, the children of Israel, or the Hebrew children, was instructed to do certain things. And because of the distance, what was where the money come in is that if they couldn't go or make it to Jerusalem, what they would do, they would sell their stocks or whatever, the 10% of whatever was commanded them to pay, and they would send the money. And in my study, that's where I found out that the money come in with the tithing.
Oh, okay. And Pastor Bolden, you want to believe tithing is not for today's time. And just leading question for you is if tithing is not for today, then how do the church how would the church function? You know, how would they keep their lights on? Keep the water on, keep the land maintained, and all that stuff. If tithes are not to be collected today, and you can state why you and certain many others feel that tithing is no longer required in today's church.
All right. Thank you again for having me on. And I want to say I thank you, Bishop Robertson, for this opportunity to fellowship with him again. And God bless him and his congregation and his family. It's always a blessing to be able to share the airways with both of you gentlemen. So your question was, how is the how is the church supposed to function without tithing, or without, you know, tithing concerning bills, how they will be paid? So to answer that question, I'm gonna go to the 9th chapter, the book of 2 Corinthians. The 9th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. Let's see here. And I'm going to start reading. Well, actually, let me back up to the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians, start reading at verse 7. It says, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and in utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." And so here Paul is telling the people, just like you are growing in faith and you're growing in utterance or speaking in tongues, you're growing in knowledge and diligence and in your love towards us, see that you grow also in your giving. In other words, become mature in your giving. And he says, this is a way that you can prove the sincerity of your love towards us. And so in the 9th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to start reading at verse 6. It says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Now here's the key verse here, verse 7.
Hey, Pastor Boat, I don't mean to cut you off. Hey, could you, having a hard time hearing you over here, could you maybe speak up a little bit?
What about now? Can you hear me a little bit better?
Oh, yeah, much better. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Sorry about that. All right. Is that a little better?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right. So in the 9th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, and we're going to start reading at verse 6 again. It says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." And so this is how the churches should be maintained financially, according to what's purposed in their heart. And it goes on to say, not grudgingly or of necessity. And so tithing, if we know what the book of Malachi tells us, that, you know, under the law, tithing was a necessity. It was a must for people to do that. But in the new covenant, that has been done away with, because of course we grow bountifully, like the word of God says, in showing our love, in other words, proving the sincerity of our love. And so that is my response to your question. In the old covenant, the people had to be told what to give, which was 10% of their crops and things like that. But in the new covenant, we have the Holy Spirit to lead us. And now there's a purpose in our hearts that we give according to, and not because we're being told 10% or 20% or whatever. But now we're being led by the Spirit of God in what to give and how much to give.
All right, and that number is 941-745-1490. That's 941-745-1490 if you want to be a part of the conversation. And we also stream live on YouTube, so you can hop on there, ask questions if you want to, and be a part of the show. So Bishop, you want to respond to that?
Okay, I didn't get, I couldn't hardly hear him.
Okay.
He said it was 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, what he was speaking from, about giving.
Yes.
Give. Okay. Good to be with you, Pastor. Yes, as I did hear, when you go back, as Jesus addressed, but I want to go back if I have time, and I want to read kind of rush along with it, because number one, tithe, the practice of giving a tenth of one's income or property as an offering to God. The custom of paying a tithe was an ancient practice found among many nations of the ancient world. The practice of giving a tenth of income and all property extends into Hebrew history before the time of Mosaic law. The first recording in instance of tithing in the Bible occurs in Genesis. Okay, and that's when we all know the story when Abram at the time, before his name was changed, I gave a tenth of the spoils that he had when he had gone to war concerning Lot. And the tenth, Abraham wasn't told. He wasn't instructed, but he gave a tenth of the spoils to Melchizedek. And that was the first instance of tithe. And as I studied the tithe, which is important, it says that it's worth noting that God never commanded Abram to tithe as far as the scripture is concerned. He did it simply because he wanted to. Later in the Old Covenant law, God does command the Israelites to tithe, but Abram was long before the law and tithe of his own free will. And it's important that whatever we do concerning all this belong to God. As I work, sometime I give more, and a tithe goes further and deeper than just 10% of. And we know, like in the Old Testament, it was instructed for the children of Israel, or the Hebrew children, which is another topic, to give a tithe. And it wasn't just money, and it was for a purpose. And then when you look in Malachi, which I studied, and a lot of people use the book of Malachi, will a man rob God? Well, we know what was going on there. But before we get there, it say there's another record recorded demand. There was no record recorded demand of Abraham for a tenth. Neither is there any explanation given about why Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek. Jacob also, long before the law of Moses come into existence, promised that he would give of the Lord a tenth of all he received. The law of Moses prescribed tithing in some detail in Leviticus. In addition, the Hebrew people were required to set apart every tenth animal of their herds and flocks of the to the Lord. And this is where I learned a few more things that wasn't aware of. They say in the Leviticus, the tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the tree, belong to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. These gifts were a reminder that everything belonged to God, and a portion was given back to God to thank him for what they had received. And in my research, the third passage dealing with the tithes in Deuteronomy, and there's a lot of scriptures, it's a this passage instructed Israel to take their tithes to the place the Lord prescribed, eventually the city of Jerusalem. So we know one of the purposes of the tithings was to take care of the Levites because they didn't have any land. We understand all of that. But it was not just to take care of the Levites as God instructed them to do, but it was the purpose of some other things which God had told them. So when you go to Malachi, which is very interesting, the children of Israel had begun to do some things that God had not commanded them. And the question was asked, will a man rob God? And yet God had given them some instruction. He said, now, if you pay your tithes, you would be blessed. Okay? And if you don't pay them, he said, you're going to be cursed with the curse. And what the curse was cursed with the curse. He said, the devil will destroy your grounds, will be cursed. Your vines will be cursed. So in the tithes, the what God had instructed them to do, it was to take care of the people that was taking care of the house of God, and even God instructed them to pay a tithe tax. So, and as Jesus instructed, as I went to the New Testament, and even if you read in 1 Corinthians, that the 9th chapter, too, where Paul was speaking of, I know he say set aside. Okay, what's the reason why he say set aside, you know, your offering, whatever you're going to give? We have to give it willingly, and we have to give it as the pastor quoted in 2 Corinthians. It have to be willing from our heart, and we have to give with joy. But my thing is, one reason why I believe in giving of my tithes, because it all belongs to God. And when I give my tithes, and not just my tithes, when I give my offerings, he say tithes and offerings, I give with joy because it doesn't belong to me. It's God that blessed me with it. And I think about when he told instructed them to give their tithes, how he would bless them. So I've been blessed. And even though when you read in the New Testament, tithes is mentioned 8 times, depending on which version you're reading. It's mentioned 8 times. Jesus addressed it in Matthew 20:21. You know, he dealt with the scribes and Pharisees and everything. He said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, that which is God, rendered unto God. So all of it belonged to God. And there was a man that in, I think it's Luke 18:12, where... Let me read it. Give me a minute. Luke 18:12, it says, I fast twice a week, this man, and we know how Jesus dealt with those educated scribes and Pharisees. He said, I give tithe of all that I gain. Okay, so they were still doing it with Jesus. I haven't read where Jesus said, don't pay him. And I haven't read where he say, pay them. But when you go back, and this is what I base what my conviction on, is that when you give of your tithes, you give it willingly and you give it freely, that God will open up the windows of heaven. There are some things that God promised that he would do if you do these things. So I look at it as, okay, if you don't pay them, even if you give, you know, you might be stingy in your giving. You give a little, you're going to be blessed a little. You give a lot, you know, everybody don't have that same gift of giving. But the thing is you give of your tithes, your earnings, you know, it's going to the Lord. We look at it as going to the preacher doing this and preacher doing that. But it's going to the Lord. It's going for the upkeep of the kingdom of God. It's going for the ministry of the gospel. Is going to help other people, that it would be meat in the storehouse. So the blessings, the promises that come with the giving freely of yourself, not just the tithes, but tithes and offering, there are some benefits that come with this. That's why I believe that it's prevalent for the time that we're living in.
Okay, I'm going to say this one thing, and I'll let you take over, Pastor Bolden. I guess it all depends on who you talk to. You hear some people say they pay their tithes, you know, they get blessed, and, you know, they get back more than what they put in. Then you talk to some, it's a struggle. I remember talking to one guy, I guess the pastor wife at his church was, I guess, asking him about, questioning him, I guess he was getting questioned about his tithe and how, why he hasn't been paid or whatever. Then the guy, he said his response was, who gonna pay my rent? So I don't know. So sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I don't know. But some people paying their tithe, it really puts them in a bind. And then you get some, you know, they flourish. So I don't know if it's they mindset of giving or what it is. It's total opposites there. But Pastor Bowen, you can take it from there.
All right, thank you for this opportunity. I want to address a few things that Bishop Robertson was speaking about. The first thing I want to say, just for those that are listening in, some years ago, many years ago, I believed that tithing was necessary, just growing up in church and things like that, and, you know, just hearing it talked about here and there. I believed that. And a cousin of mine had called me and told me she had just gave her life to the Lord, and her dad had told her that she needed to start paying tithing. And she asked me what I thought. I said, yeah, I believe you should pay your tithes. And so she said, well, I need for you to show me that in the Bible. And so I went in the scriptures and I studied the word and looked it up and just studied it. And about 6 hours later, the Lord had showed me different. Now, and I'm saying that to say this, that, you know, I understand that there are some people who maybe have been burnt by a church, or maybe they have some what they call church hurt. And, you know, of course, that's one of the main things they're going to attack is people giving to the church. And I am not against people giving to the church. I believe that people should give to the work of the Lord wholeheartedly. I believe people ought to be led by the Lord. But the thing that I don't agree with is this: people using Malachi 3 to extort money from believers. Bishop Robertson had said, and I'm not saying that that's what he's doing, but I've been in circles and I've seen where preachers just every Sunday when they get up, they beating people over the head with Malachi 3, basically bringing them back under the law. And so I heard Bishop Robertson, he mentioned about Jesus tithing, mentioning tithing and bringing it up, which he did. You know, he was talking to the Pharisees, I think in the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew, and he was telling them that they tithe mint, cumin, and anise. And they do these things, but they let go of the weightier matters of the law. And so when we talk about, and that's one of the things that people use concerning what, you know, and saying that Jesus mentioned tithing. But here's my question. If we have to look at the whole scope of things, and my question is this: was Jesus Christ, when he was walking this earth, was he under the old covenant or the new covenant? When exactly did the New Testament start? If we understand what a testament is, or another word for testament is will. In other words, just like if I got this little coffee table in my house and I got in my mind who I want to give it to, so I'm gonna write a will, but the will does not go into effect until I die. So the new covenant did not go into effect until Jesus Christ died. So while he was here, he had to say, he could not pull people from under the law, because he himself, according to the book of Galatians, the 3rd chapter, he himself was born under the law. So he could not pull people from under it until he died, which is why when he died, God himself rent the veil of the temple from top to bottom, meaning there would be no more priesthood. And if there is no more priesthood, then that means who are we paying tithes to? Again, I sincerely and I wholeheartedly believe that people should give to the ministry and to the work of the ministry. I sincerely believe what the Bishop Robertson said in the ninth chapter, what we read in the ninth chapter of 1 Corinthians, where Paul is talking about, you know, having a right to receive an offering from people, that if he preached the gospel, he have the right to live off of preaching the gospel. So I sincerely believe that when men of God are called to preach, I believe if they are pouring into people spiritual things, you know, according to the book of Galatians, what is it that we reap their carnal things? So I sincerely believe that preachers and the ministry of God ought to be sustained by those that are benefiting from it. But what I don't agree with wholeheartedly is the idea that we put people under the law to sustain what God has ordered in this new covenant. That's my only thing. That I don't believe that we bring people under the law, because the Bible says that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto grace. In other words, in the old covenant, God held people's hand and told them, look, this is what you give. Give 10%, just like what Bishop Robertson was saying, that, you know, the Levites didn't have an inheritance in the land. And so God had ordered the other 11 tribes to take care of their brothers, you know, that because they were doing the work of the ministry at that time. But in the new covenant, we have the Holy Spirit now, and we God should not have to walk us around like we're babies and tell us to give 10%, because what happens if God tells somebody to give 25% or 30% or 5%? You see, if we're telling everybody the exact amount of what they should give concerning their income, then we're hindering their spiritual growth and their ability to be able to hear from God for themselves, and so that they can do what the word says and give according to what's purpose in their hearts. You see that? And so that's my that's just what I feel about it. I wanted to make that clear that, you know, I'm not one of these people where I done got burnt by a church, or, you know, feel like, you know, all people preach about is money. And, you know, I don't agree with that, Stan. I believe, and me being a pastor myself, I know that you want people to give, you know, and not just for your benefit, but for theirs. And I said, because I myself am a giver, and I believe wholeheartedly what the law said. It is more blessed to give than receive. I believe that. And so, but my thing is, I want people to pray to God. This is just me. I believe people should pray to God about how much they should give, you know, and I believe as people continue to grow in God, God might challenge them to give more, you see. And so that's my stand on it.
Okay, Bishop, you got, you want to respond to that?
Yes, I as Pastor was speaking, there are several things I agree with them 100%, because I was reading as I researched, like he was saying, there are churches, say leaders, that prey on people when it come down to that. And just the mention of tithes, like he was saying, it's a, I was reading here, say when in Malachi, when he say, test me. And it say, if the Jews would trust God enough to pay the tithes required by the temple, and I be careful when I use that word pay tithes. We don't pay tithes. We give. God, when told Moses to build a sanctuary, he said, them that are of a willing heart. So if we give grudgingly, well, that's, we're going to receive grudgingly. But so we have to be willing to do this. He said, if they would trust God, that's required by the temple, God would bless them. It say, don't be taken in by media ministries with that misapply this verse to promote fundraising. But don't forget at the same time that no one can outgive God. Don't hesitate to respond to the Spirit's prompting as you're giving. God is still able to pour out blessings. So, yes, and to what you were saying, yeah, we have to be careful. That's why the Bible says study to show thyself approved by God, and a workman need not be ashamed rightly divide the word. So we have to study these things. And I was reading in the study, it say, however, as believers, we ought to be generous in sharing our material possessions with the poor, and for the support of Christian ministry. Christ himself is our model in giving. Giving is to be volunteer, willing, cheerful, and given in the light of the accountability to God. Giving should be systematic and by no means limited to a tithe of our income. We recognize that all we have is from God. We are called to be faithful stewards of all our possessions. So, and I'm definitely not saying limited 10% and, you know, trying to tell somebody what they ought to give. And when you go back to the schoolmaster, he say in tithes and offerings. So in under grace and truth, Paul mentioned in Hebrews, I think the 7th chapter, he mentioned Melchizedek, and in the 7th chapter, in Jesus addressed. But the word tithe was never mentioned. I haven't found it in the study in the Bible that I've been studying that they mentioned, but he talks about giving. And Jesus talks about giving. By no means I would tell anybody, well, you pay your tithes and that's it. That's not what the scriptures say. The schoolmaster is set up for us to learn. So if by me giving, not so much 10%, because it goes deeper than the money. By me giving and being a cheerful giver, as Jesus and as Paul, in Paul writings, as he was explaining to the church, you know, like, to whom much is given, much is required. Okay, so I give willingly. I don't give saying, oh, I gave this and I gave that. Matter of fact, if I'm in a service and I'm giving whatever I'm giving, I don't care for the so-and-so gave, pastor gave $100, and I don't really care for that, because I want to give. I want to give in secret that God will bless me openly, and I'm giving from my heart. So by no means am I, or would I tell somebody, you know, you 10%, that's all God require. No, but I believe, and I take it from that. Even though, like I say, Jesus addressed the tithe, but he never did say to give tithe, and he didn't say not to give tithe. And I understand that when Jesus in his ministry, like in Matthew's, okay, he was still, like you say, he was born under the law. So until he died, that's when everything unfolded. You know, the curtain was rent. That's that he brought us into grace and truth. But we still have to look at the schoolmaster, and we have to rightly divide, and we have to take that. So since there are some promises that comes with Malachi, I'm not condemned about my giving of tithes. Because when you go back to the schoolmaster, well, when you go under grace and truth, a lot of the scriptures, the schoolmaster is mentioned in that, and it's for our learning. It's for to keep us from falling in the same shape that the children of Israel or all those other people that disobey God and the wrath of God come upon them. So, but like you say, you know, we as believers, we have to be generous, but by no means, again, am I saying, you know, tithes is limited or 10%, and if you don't pay your tithes, you're going to hell. No, I'm not saying that. But this is my conviction, and it's not salvation. But I want to obey every word that God allow me, and this is why His Holy Spirit come. It comes to teach us, come to open up our understanding, you know, according to that which is given to us by His Spirit.
Oh, it's a yeah. The number here is 941-745-1490. That's 941-745-1490. I was listening to you before I let Pastor Boland take over. I know in some churches, I don't know, sometimes when they have the, I guess come down to the tithers, you know, they have all the, they tell all the tithers to come forth, and they'll form a line, and, you know, I guess the preacher, you know, lay hands on them for, you know, I guess pray a special blessing because they're paying their tithe. Now, in my opinion, I don't, like I said, it's just, so if you go do it, I mean, I don't think the whole church needs to know who's paying their tithe and who's not. That's the way I thought about it. That's kind of embarrassing. I don't need nobody knowing if I'm paying, or maybe next week I might fall a little short and I ain't up there. So I just never understood, why you call all tithes to come up to the front, so you can, And I listen carefully what they be saying, all these young people that obey the word and whatever. That's my opinion. You do it in secret. I don't think the whole congregation needs to know who's paying and who's not. That's it for today's time. You take it over, Brother Bolden.
All right, thank you. I've been in churches where I've seen that happen, where the tithers are called to come forth and bring their money, and they waving it in the air and things like that. Things like that is just a way to try to force people who may not have that conviction to give 10%, or who may not be able to afford it, at the moment, or whatever the case is. To me, it's a scheme to kind of force people to have to give, or, which is what Paul addresses about giving grudgingly, because, a lot of preachers use that method to kind of force people to give. And I think ultimately we do God a disservice by having little gimmicks like that going on in the church, where people are, proudly giving their 10% in front of others. And of course, according to the Lord, if they'd have been doing that foolishness back in the Lord's day, he'd have called them exactly what he called the people who were doing things like that, hypocrites, who wanted to be seen of men and things like that. And so I think it does God's work a disservice when we when churches have little things going on like that. So I want to address real briefly Malachi 3 and verse 8, which is and on down, which is what a lot of people use to justify that. But before I get into that, I want to say again, I'm not against people giving an offering. I'm not against people even paying 10%. But what we have to make sure that we are careful about is that this 10% has not become a law unto our hearts, to where we are led away from grace. Because in the book of Galatians, it tells us that those who are justified by the law have fallen from grace. And so, again, I'm not against people giving an offering. I'm not, if they set in their hearts to give 10%, God bless them, But what I am against is when it becomes a law to them. Like, in other words, they're doing it because of the law versus because God actually led them to do that. You see that? And so in the third chapter of the book of Malachi, in verse 8, it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet have ye robbed me, but ye say, wherein?" In other words, how have we robbed thee? And he said, "In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me." Now, the last part of that verse is key, verse 9, even this whole nation. And so if we want to know what nation robbed God, all we have to do, and who Malachi is talking to, all we have to do is go back to chapter 1, verse 1. And what does Malachi say there? The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. And so in verse 1 of chapter 1 and verse 1, he's saying who he's addressing when he's saying who will a man rob God. He said, even this whole nation. So the children of Israel, as far as we know, they're the only nation that were commanded by God to pay tithes. You see? And verse 10, look at what he says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house." And I believe he meant what he said when he said that there may be meat. In other words, food. So tithing was food. always was food, always. Said that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. And so what is he talking about when he's saying pour you out a blessing? I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. In the book of Genesis, it talks about God opening up the windows of heaven. And what that meant was he was sending rain. And so the idea is if tithing was food, in other words, crops and things that grew up out of the ground, then the blessing for you as a farmer to be able to give food was rain. And so when God said, I will open up the windows of heaven, he meant that literally. I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. What was pouring? The rain. So the idea was the rain, if the people would do what God told them to do, and as far as giving 10% of their crops and things like that they grew out of the ground to the priesthood, then God would make sure that they crops continue to grow by giving them rain. You see that? And so in verse 11, he says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not, and now look at what that says, he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruits before the time in the field, said the Lord of hosts. And so that's one of the things that I wanted to address, that in God is very specific about what he's talking about. When people paid tithes, they paid it in food. You know, God wanted his priests to eat. You see that? Now, I think earlier Bishop Robertson had mentioned the 12th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. I want to just go there real briefly, but to the 14th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, as the Lord continued to talk about tithing from what the bishop was bringing up earlier. The 14th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, and I'm going to start reading at verse 22. It says, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that thy field bringeth forth year by year, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thy oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And if the way be too long for thee, and I think Bishop Robertson had mentioned Jerusalem being the center of where the priests were supposed to receive the tithes. He says, and if, verse 24, and if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then shalt thou turn it into money. And so let's pay close attention to that. He says, then shalt thou turn it into money and bind up the money in thine hand, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, and thou shalt bestow that money. In other words, you shall trade that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen and for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatever thy soul desire. And thou shalt there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, and thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household. And so that's one of the things that's when tithing was turned into money, when they were too far away. But God didn't tell them to take the money the place was too far away. He didn't tell them to turn that into money and then take the money and give it to the priests under the law. He told them to redeem it for money, and then them buy whatever they so desire and eat it before the Lord. You see that? So either way, it was still going to be converted back to food, if that make any sense. So if we're going to, just like what Paul says, if we're going to keep the law, we are debtor to do the whole law. In other words, we have to do it exactly the way it's prescribed. If we're going to go under the law, we have to do it exactly the way they did it, or it does not count. One other thing I want to say, if there's time, just real briefly. In the book, in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, there are Pharisees who were telling the new converts, the Gentile new converts, the people that were not Jews, they were telling them that if they were going to be saved, they had to keep the Mosaic law. And so word got back to the apostles that this was being said. And so they had a big conference, and of course they wrote this, and I'll just read this just real briefly. This is what it says. It says in chapter 15, verse 28, it says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." Now, this is what the apostles' answer is to the people who were trying to bring the Gentiles back, bring them under the law. It says that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well. And so in other words, and I won't go to that today, but Peter was making it clear that why are we trying to bring the Gentiles under the law, which we ourselves are not able to keep? And so when this whole situation came up, they got together, they prayed about it, and the Holy Ghost led them to say, let's not bring the Gentiles under the law, because they were never under the law. The law was for the Jews. You see, just like what we just read in the book of Malachi. And so here, I believe if we're going to follow the word, and like the word of God says, if we pull ourselves under the law, then that means that we are a debtor to do the whole law. We will be judged by that law and whether or not we kept it faithfully. And that's the danger of bringing people under the law of tithing. And I'm stressing that, the law of tithing. I'm not against people paying 10% or even paying tithes. What I am against is it becoming a law where churches, that a lot of churches have made, you know, it a law to people. And what they do is they take away people's ability to follow the law in grace and in spirit and in truth. So that's all I had to say about that.
All right, but so what you say about that? See, you know, it's most people believe that's, you know, like you say, like it's under the law. So if you can kind of expound on it a little bit.
Yeah, and he keeps stressing the law, and it is, you know, important, and these things are actually taking place, and you have people doing it. I don't agree with it, the way they do it, and we have to do it like the Bible say. But in like I was saying earlier, which is another topic, when you say, when he went back to the first chapter of Malachi, and when you talk about the children of Israel, the Jews, the Hebrew children, the question is, who are they? Which is another topic. Okay, and Jesus say he didn't come to do away with the law, but he come to fulfill the law. So as we are instructed, and it's through the Holy Ghost and through the grace, you know, we are under grace and truth. So we have to be careful that when we go back, the Old Testament, a lot of people think the whole Old Testament is the law. And that would be my question. He keeps stressing, you know, about the law. And we are not under the law. But to my point, the reason I believe and the reason I do it, and I know it's just a play of words, I don't pay tithes, but I give my tithes, and I give it, you know, with joy. And when you give, he says, shall be given, what, pressed down, running over and all this. Okay, I don't just do with, I do tithes and I do offerings. I do 10% of whatever I get, because I don't grow crops. I don't have any cattle. So, but my income, as that Pharisee say with the wrong motive, he give, you know, his tithes of all his income. You know, he's paying tithes, but he had the wrong motive. So we have to be careful with that. But this is why I
I still do what I do. I give when whatever God blessed me with, because it's Him that blessed me, and I give not only 10% of, sometimes I give more, and I give my offering. And with that blessing, even though, as he say, it's a deep subject, and it's worth looking into, you know, under the Mosaic law, that they were commanded to give tithes. And but it was for, you know, the upkeep of taking care of, you know, the church, the Levite, those that took care of the house of God, because they didn't have, you know, any land and everything, but they was commanded to do that. But there was some blessings, as he read, there was some blessings that come with the devour, you know, devouring the land. Like he say, he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing where you won't have room to receive. Now, in interpretation, we still have to rightly divide that. But that's what I believe. I, you know, just like he was saying, but that's not what I teach. And he's stressing what's actually taking place and what people actually believe. Just like Paul say, don't give out of necessity. And you had mentioned, you know, some people say, well, I just can't afford it. Okay, so we walk by faith and not by sight and not what we feel. And if we are led of the Spirit, if it was our last and we were led of the Spirit, and if we obey God, he say, test me or try me. See, won't I open up? See, won't I bless you? Not just with rain from heaven for your crops or whatever, you know, you are trusting God for, whatever you are into and whatever the Spirit of God is leading you. That's why it's important that we are led by the Spirit of God, and that we won't come under any condemnation, you know, concerning the law. Because like you say, that if we live by the law, we're going to die by the law. But grace and truth, when you look at it, when you talk about, like, say, for an example, like the Ten Commandments, okay, and when you look back at the curse that after in the Garden of Eden, when God cursed a serpent and said the woman was going to bear this, and I asked the question one time, I say, is women still bearing pain when they have that? Well, was that under the law? That thing is still happening. You know, women still bearing pain. And he say, your husband shall rule over you. Okay, all of that stuff is still going on. But if we live by the law, we just have to, it's our schoolmaster. So we have to avoid those things. So the grace and truth will cause us to obey the law, not live, not be condemned and controlled by the law, but it will cause us, well, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, okay? All of that is under the law. Okay, grace and truth will empower us not to do those things, because it will get us in trouble with God. And I see that time is moving on. But, I don't teach that.
Oh, yeah, I got you. Now, I do apologize to the ones that's listening on YouTube. I know they can't hear the bishop speaking. I do apologize about that. I'm going to have to look into that and see what I got to do on my end, so we can hear our caller through stream next time. So that's, again, I do apologize for the ones that's listening on YouTube and can't hear the bishop. But I know we're getting ready to wrap up. If Pastor Bowden, you can want to spend maybe, you know, 2 minutes, you know, wrapping up, and the same thing for Bishop. And I do appreciate both of y'all taking the time to come on here and have this discussion. I really enjoyed it.
All right, thank you. Another thing I want to address, because sometimes it's brought up about, you know, Abraham paying tithes to Melchizedek, and sometimes people try to use that to say that, so that's proof that tithing is for today. And I'm not saying that that's what Bishop Robinson is doing, but I've heard people do that. And again, if we're going to follow all the things that Abraham did, Abraham also offered up sheep and oxen and things like that. And so you know, we have to, again, like what Bishop Robertson said, rightly divide the word of truth. Again, and I just use it as an example to before I close. If you're married and you have a wife, what wife do you want? The one that's going to follow rules? Or do you want the wife that's going to love you and do things that a wife does because she loves you? And to me, that's the difference between the law and grace. God don't want people following him out of necessity and doing anything for him because of the command of it. You know, we do these things because we love him, whatever it may be. And tithing, unfortunately, is one of those issues in the church where people feel forced. And so they take no pleasure in it. And I believe if we're going to give, just like what Bishop Robertson was saying, that we should give according to what's purposed in our hearts. And it should also, we should also be cheerful givers. And that's my main thing about it. Not doing it because it's a command, you know, out of the book of Malachi. But whatever we giving, doing it because we love God and we want to see his work continue.
All right, Bishop, final words?
Yes. And I, as he was going forth, I was just thinking about when we accept Christ, and in, I think in Galatians where he say we become joint heirs, we come, I can't think of that scripture, but we receive the blessings of Abraham, those blessings that he come with it. Anyway, I know it, but I just can't say it right now. But anyway, yeah, it's been a pleasure, and I appreciate you, Harold, for having me on, and it's been a pleasure meeting with you again, Pastor Bolden.
Amen. Same here. God bless you.
All right. Now, again, we appreciate everybody for tuning in, and those that were listening live on YouTube, I do apologize you couldn't hear the bishop through YouTube. I'm just going to do a little more, you know, I'm kind of new to the streaming, so I'm going to do a little digging and researching and see what I can do to do better. But I appreciate everybody for tuning in to the Raw Spiel. A special thanks to Bishop Robertson from DeRidder and Pastor Bolden from Bolivar, Tennessee. I thank both of you for tuning in. I thank both of you for being on the show tonight. And until next time, God bless, and y'all have a good weekend.